For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening today to the podcast of Ripley Baptist Temple. I pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to you and to your family. Now join us as we listen to the Word of God from the pulpit of Ripley Baptist Temple. Take your Bibles, turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1 this morning. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. Amen. Well, I want to thank the ladies for the decorations. I appreciate all the pretty decorations, and I don't know who all was involved in that, but I'm guessing ladies, and I want to thank what a blessing. And we took a little survey in Sunday school. By the way, let me encourage you this Christmas season. Let me encourage you with one word: others. Let's think of others throughout the month of December. And of course, a church like ours, we're trying to think of others throughout the year, especially this month. Let's think of others. Let's think about what we can do to be a blessing to others. And everybody doesn't have to know that. That's the great thing about serving God. Just be a blessing to others. And others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be: may I live for others that I might be more like thee, someone wrote. But in Sunday school, we took a survey about trees up and decorations and all of that. And I don't know how many. I know at our house, we're working toward that. We're working toward that. And Cindy got quite a few things decorated yesterday. All, you know, went from fall to Christmas. I personally, now just me, I like fall decorations better than Christmas decorations. That's just me. Now, that doesn't mean I'm a Scrooge or anything. I just like the fall decorations better. And it's always a sad day when I have to remove the pumpkins from the front stoop, you know. And that's my job, to remove the pumpkins and to retrieve the articles of decoration that are scattered about the property, as in down in the shed and out in the garage and other places like that. And I checked my insurance to make sure that I was covered before I went and ventured into some of these areas. Cindy said, let's go down to the outbuilding and get some Christmas decorations. I said, honey, I don't think you really want to do that. One thing, it's going to be rather discouraging. Then it might be rather dangerous, you know. But I did get some things out of there. And I learned this. I learned that large pumpkins roll further and faster than small pumpkins. Our house is up on a ridge above Route 21. And I thought, well, I'll just roll these down into the woods there and feed the deer, you know, be kind to animals and all. That large pumpkin really took off, you know. I mean, I saw trees doing this as it went down over the mountain. And it really picked up quite a head of steam. I heard brakes and glass and things crack down on 21, but I didn't go down to look. But if you see a big pumpkin in the middle of Route 21, it may have come off our front porch. I don't know, you know, but I don't think it rolled that far. Actually, I didn't hear glass, but it really did pick up some steam. And anyway, so we're moving into Christmas, and I love the Christmas story. The wonderful thing about the gospel is, we preach the Christmas story 52 Sundays out of the year, don't we? And I want to speak this morning on the subject of the story that never grows old. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. Did I say chapter 1? Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, and beginning in verse 18. Now, the Bible says, Matthew writes, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused or betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, Fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, verse 22, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, speaking of Isaiah, behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, took unto him his wife, Mary, of course, knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for this wonderful story that never, ever grows old. It never becomes stale. It's as fresh as the first day we read it. And thank you that it's a powerful story. And thank you that it's a purposeful story in that Jesus came. You said unto us is given, a child is born unto us is given. And Lord, we thank you that that Jesus came to die for the sins of mankind, that the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost, that the Son of Man became a son of man, that the sons of men might become the sons of God. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, as the Son of God, is as we look at the Son of God today, the Lord Jesus, may he be lifted up and people be drawn to him. In Jesus' name, amen. The story that never, never, ever grows old. This is the story as Matthew had written it many years ago. As in Matthew's gospel, we see Jesus as the King of the Jews. He's the King of the Jews. So we see a genealogy of a king. And we go down through all of these generations, 14 or so generations. And it's an amazing thing as we read through all of that genealogy. And then verse 18, it says, and now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. In John chapter 1, you don't have to turn there. And verse 14, the Bible says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. You say, what is the Christmas story? Well, John, the way John saw it, the Word of God, Jesus, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. I love that old song, O Little Town of Bethlehem. How still we see thee lie. And as we think of Jesus and as he came to Bethlehem's manger there many years ago, we're still telling his story. We're still telling the story about a virgin named Mary and how that she and Joseph were betrothed to each other and espoused. They were betrothed. They were engaged. That was a very binding thing in the Jewish culture, but they had not come together in marriage yet physically as man and wife, but they were betrothed to one another. And in this wonderful story, I want to share four great truths with you this morning. And these are wonderful truths, and they never grow old. And I trust that it'll be a help to you. First of all, I want us to notice in this story that never grows old, I want you to notice in this story a supernatural determination. There was a supernatural determination. In chapter 1, verse 18, after the long list of genealogy, as we read, as God very meticulously tells Matthew in whatever way he guided him and guarded his pen, as Matthew wrote down that genealogy, and we're going to look at that in just a moment, the significance when it comes to Jesus' family. But now we come to chapter 1, verse 18, and it says, and now, after 17 verses of genealogy, after all of these families and all of that, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. Now it's about to happen. Now, after all of these years, now after Isaiah has preached about him, after Micah has preached about him and all of that. I mean, I think about this supernatural determination. We see, first of all, the people involved, Mary and Joseph. That's pretty basic, isn't it? Mary and Joseph, we know that. And as we think about this supernatural determination, the Bible says the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. And we see the people involved, Mary and Joseph. We see the place of the occurrence, Bethlehem. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, it says, "And thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, the smallest of Judea, out of thee shall come forth a king named Jesus." Hundreds of years before Jesus would come, we see that supernatural determination. Not only do we see the people involved, Mary and Joseph, but we see the place involved, which was Bethlehem. He could have sent him to a larger city, but he did not choose to do that. The place of its occurrence. I think that God wanted us. I think God wanted common people to be able to identify with the Lord Jesus, because he identified with common people. So we see the place of his occurrence, the people involved. Then we see the person it was all about. Verse 23, his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. And so in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, it says, "While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife." Notice this, "For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Is of the Holy Ghost. Then look in verse 23. "A virgin shall be with child," Isaiah said, "and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. That was a sovereign, supernatural determination. But I want you to notice this. In verse 16 of chapter 1, "Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ." So all the way back through the scriptures, the Bible says there's a Savior coming. He'll be born of a virgin. He'll be born in Bethlehem. Mary and Joseph will be his earthly parents and all of these things. But as we come down through the genealogy, we see a father, we see a wife, a mother. We see a father and a mother, a father and a mother. But when it comes to Jesus, it says in verse 16, "And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary," not the father of Jesus, the husband of Mary. And then notice this, "of whom was born Jesus, who's called Christ." The "of whom" there is in the feminine. In the Greek, it's referring, the feminine singular, it refers back to Mary, not Joseph. "Of whom was born." In other words, Jesus had no earthly father, but he had a heavenly father. And God miraculously and supernaturally determined before the foundation of the world that a virgin would conceive and out of Judea and in Bethlehem would be born the Savior, and the Son of God, the seed of the Son of God would be placed in the womb of a virgin named Mary. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. I mean, you think about that supernatural determination. The birth of Jesus was on this wise. That one birth would change the world. Every birth can change the world. Every birth is significant. That's why we that are pro-life stand for life, because everybody has a right to life. Therefore, choose life, the Bible says. But this life would be a supernatural life. This life would change the entire world and set the world on its ear, and still would. And the place of its occurrence in Bethlehem, in that place called the house of bread, the bread from heaven's oven would come, that if men would eat of that bread, they would never hunger again. But not only in this story do we see a supernatural determination, but we see a surprise discovery. Chapter 1, verse 18, the latter part, it says, When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Before they came together. The Bible's very specific in that. It was a surprise discovery. I mean, you think about this, knowing that you had been pure, and knowing that you had honored your future spouse, and knowing that you had not had any physical relations at all, it was a surprise discovery to learn that you're pregnant. Amazing. I mean, you think about that, a surprise discovery. And Matthew describes Joseph's response And then Luke describes Mary's response. What would be Mary's response? Mary knew that she'd kept herself for her future husband. Mary knew that she'd tried to honor God. Mary knew that their relationship was above board and was sacred and pure and holy and right. Joseph knew that. And by the way, God knew that. And by the way, the devil knew that. And that's why he attacks the virgin birth in such a way. But imagine having a relationship like that and all of a sudden an angel appearing unto you and saying, "Hail, thou art highly favored among women. You're pregnant." Think about that. A surprise discovery. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26, the Bible says, In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin. There's only one way you can actually translate that in the scriptures, and that is the word virgin. To a virgin, not a young woman, a virgin, espoused or betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel, Luke chapter 1, verse 28, came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." Not above women. Mary's not to be prayed to. But she was favored among women. Imagine all of the Jewish young ladies of that day knowing that the Messiah was going to come. And one of them would be its mother. And for Mary to hear from the angel Gabriel to say, "You're the one." Young people, how would you like to be chosen to raise the Son of God? That'd be something, wouldn't it? To raise the Son of God, to train him in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. One thing about it, he wouldn't be a problem child. I mean, I know a lot of mothers would say, you know, "My son hardly ever did anything wrong," but it was true of Jesus. He never did anything wrong. Never did he. I imagine his siblings probably kind of, you know, that probably torqued them a little bit. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 1, verse 21, "And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign forever and ever. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, what was her response? "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" How can this be? This can't be. I knew a couple years ago who had a baby, and they both, I mean, hand on the Bible, said they did not know that they were pregnant until they went to the hospital. I've always kind of shook my head at that. She didn't know, he didn't know. And I mean, surprise, surprise, we're going to the emergency room. You're pregnant. Getting ready to have a baby boy. But here she gets this surprise announcement. Fear not, though. She said, how can this be? I've never known a man. I've kept myself. Joseph and I have been pure in our relationship. How can this be? How can this be? God said, with God, nothing shall be impossible. The angel answered and said to her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Thou therefore also that holy thing, Jesus, which shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived in her old age. This is the 6 months. But with God, he said, with God, nothing shall be impossible. What was Mary's response? Verse 38, Luke chapter 1. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. Dear God, I don't understand this. It's hard for me to believe. I'm overwhelmed by all of this. But dear God, I yield myself to you. And the angel departed from her. I believe that God made a wise choice in Mary. was Mary that stood at the cross of Jesus when his disciples had left him. There stood on the elbow of John. John became her adopted son, and she became his adopted mother until death. A surprise discovery. A supernatural determination. But we see back Joseph. Meanwhile, Joseph, how did he handle this? Think about this. A spiritual decision. A spiritual decision had to be made. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20, but while he thought on these things, he didn't have much time to think. But while he thought on these things, he like Mary's probably thinking, wow, I mean, this is news. I can't believe you're pregnant. Then I can't believe that we're going to be the parents on this earth of the Son of God, Messiah, that the prophets said was going to come, and now he's coming as he said to the place he said, and we're the people. And so a spiritual decision was made. How did that happen? First of all, because he had the Lord in his heart. The Bible in chapter 1 verse 19 called him a just man. What's that mean? He was a saved man. He was justified. He'd been saved by the grace of God. He accepted Jesus as his Savior as far as looking ahead. He knew Messiah was coming. He had the Lord in his heart. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you a just man? Are you a just woman? Is Christ in your heart? Do you know him as your Savior? Not only did he have the Lord in his heart, but we see the love of a husband. The Bible tells us here in chapter 1, verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. He could give her a bill of divorcement because of her unfaithfulness. We see the love of a husband here. He knew that he had been right. He knew that she had been right with him. But maybe in his heart of hearts, initially, when the shock comes on, he thinks, she's been unfaithful to me. But we see the love of a husband. The Bible says, while he thought on these things. Joseph wasn't a hothead. Notice this, the leading of the Lord. But while he thought on these things. What did Joseph think about there? What was he thinking about? He probably thought, what's God thinking, you know, in all of this? While he thought on these things, what did he think? Why? What was he thinking about? First of all, there was the shock involved. Well, I didn't see that coming, you know. I didn't know this was going to happen. I didn't expect to get that news today. And many times that's true in all of our lives. There's a shocking announcement comes in our lives. And you know what? If we're a just man and thinking on the things of the Lord and walking with God as Joseph did, a spiritual decision can be made when the shock wears off. First of all, there was a shock. And why the shock? Because they knew of their separation. They knew, the Bible says in verse 18, before they came together. But what did he think about? He thought about the shock of it. Then he thought about their separation. Then he thought about the scriptures. He thought about all those verses he'd read in Micah and Isaiah. He thought about all those verses he'd read of the prophets that tell of a king coming. His name would be Emmanuel. He thought of the scriptures. It says in verse 22, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. You'll call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Joseph thought on the scriptures. You know, when a spiritual decision needs to be made in our lives, the scriptures are a great thing to meditate upon. He thought on the scriptures. Notice this. He thought of the scorn. In verse 1, verse 19, he was minded to put her away privately. I can hear the lips in Nazareth talking. Psst, 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 psst. Have you heard about Mary? Have you heard about Joseph? Have you heard she's pregnant? They're not married yet. And I can just hear all the whispers. But I'm glad that the Lord's a refuge for us. You know, the church ought to be a refuge. for all people. You know, there may be those that make bad decisions in life. And maybe before a wedding day, they've made some bad decisions and a girl becomes pregnant. You know, the church ought to be a refuge that people can come to. Not that we're going to condone their sin. We're going to tell them this is sin. This is something you ought to repent of and ask God to forgive you for. But we're here to help you as a refuge. I mean, when people sin, not just this type of sin, not only adultery, not only fornication, but other things. I mean, the prodigal son, when he came back from a far country, when he came to that back to that back 40, his father was looking for him. And he killed the fatted calf and put a robe on his back and a ring on his finger. He forgave him. Listen, the church ought to be a place of refuge for those who've sinned. Those have gotten pregnant out of wedlock. Those that have had abortions. This place ought to be a place of refuge for them. We preach against abortion a lot. But if you've had an abortion, I want you to know God can forgive you and restore you. And this is a place of refuge that you can come and get help. When divorce occurs, church ought to be a place of refuge. When death occurs, the church ought to be a place of refuge. When the prodigal son goes off into a far country, this ought to be a place of refuge. When you're sick, it ought to be a place of refuge. When you're sin sick, it ought to be a place of refuge. When you're living for God, certainly it ought to be a place of refuge. I hope you believe that. He thought of the scorn, but then he thought of the scope of it all. He thought of the scope of it all. He said, look in verse 21, "And she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." He thought of the scope of it all, that God would love the world and send his dear son to die for the sins of the world. I mean, think of the scope of this birth at Bethlehem. And I think in the midst of it all, he thought on these things. He thought of the scorn. He thought of the shock. He thought of the scriptures. he thought of their separation. By the way, it still pays to live holy and chaste. And when you walk down this aisle to give yourself in marriage, it pays to wear that white dress and know that it means something. Amen. Amen, preacher. He thought of all that. But when it came down to it, he thought of the Son. The Son of God. The Son of God. That the Son of God would be born. That he would raise the Son of God in his carpenter shop. The Bible says in verse 22 that it might be fulfilled. Here it was. Now, after 14 generations or whatever is named here, verse 18, now it's being fulfilled. Joseph probably thought, why me, Lord? Why me? Mary probably thought, Lord, I don't understand this. I've tried to stay right, and maybe that's why, no doubt, why God chose her. And she said, be it unto me as thy handmaid. Whatever you want to do, dear God. It was a spiritual decision that Joseph made. Aren't you glad that he thought on these things? But notice this, there was a Savior's delivery. In verse 24, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. He was obedient. He was a glad man. He was a guarded man. He was a godly man. And he took unto him his wife. And notice again, verse 25, he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. A Savior's delivery. That's what it's all about. We decorate all that stuff. I mean, we have a great time. But what it comes down to, there was a delivery that day of the Son of God Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I mean, think about that delivery. The Son of God, if Jesus had not come, if Jesus had not come, there'd be no assurance of salvation. If Jesus had not come, there'd be no bread from heaven. There'd be no cornerstone for the church. If Jesus had not come, there'd be no doorway into heaven. If Jesus had not come, there'd be no Emmanuel, God with us. If Jesus had not come, there'd be no friend of sinners. There'd be no good shepherd. There'd be no great shepherd. There'd be no hope for mankind. There'd be no heaven waiting us if Jesus had not come. If Jesus had not come, there'd be no I am. If Jesus had not come, there'd be no joy to the world. If Jesus had not come, there'd be no King of Kings. There'd be no Lord of Lords. There'd be no manna. There'd be no message. There'd be no new and living way. There'd be no omniscient one, no omnipresent one, no omnipotent one. If Jesus had not come, there'd be no divine potentate. There'd be no Prince of Peace. There'd be no quickening of the sinner. There'd be no Redeemer. There'd be no resurrection. There'd be no Savior. If Jesus had not come, there'd be no testimony of God's love. If Jesus had not come, there'd be no unspeakable gift. If Jesus had not come, there'd be no victory. If Jesus had not come, there'd be no one worthy of worship. If Jesus had not come, by his coming, there is no Xerox copy of him. If Jesus had not come, we'd have no yearning for heaven. If Jesus had not come, there'd be no zeal for holiness and for heavenly things. The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world was Jesus. And still is. That old story never, never, ever grows old. I love to tell the story. Let's keep telling it.